Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast number 143. As always, it is so good to be with you today, to challenge you, to encourage you, to exhort you, and yes, even motivate you to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are to those who are not believers in Christ, even though we will share some instructions on how to witness for the Lord from time to time. We believe that most Christians do not need to learn how to witness for the Lord. They just need to go and do it. So our aim is more motivational than instructional. Our soul winning passage from the Word of God today, that is the Bible, is Proverbs 11:30, which reads, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Allow me to share with you some insights regarding this scripture from the expository notes of Dr. Thomas Constable. A righteous person exercises a life-giving influence. Furthermore, a wise person wins others to wisdom. That Isaiah, he or she captures others with ideas or influence. While it is true that evangelistic soul winning is wise work, soul winning is not all that this verse is talking about. The idea here is that wise people influence others to follow the way of wisdom of Solomon, which includes turning to God for salvation. Our soul winning quote today is from A.W. Tozer. He said, "I believe that entertainment and amusements are the work of the enemy to keep dying men from knowing they're dying, and to keep enemies of God from remembering that they are enemies." Our soul winning devotional is part 8 of our series titled The Master Plan of Evangelism from Robert E. Coleman, and I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Master Plan of Evangelism. It is available on our website for just $35. His strategy. Why? Why did Jesus deliberately concentrate his life on comparatively so few people? Had he not come to save the world with the glowing announcement of John the Baptist ringing in the ears of multitudes? The Master easily could have had an immediate following of thousands if he wanted them. Why then did he not capitalize on his opportunities to enlist a mighty army of believers to take the world by storm? Surely the Son of God could have adopted a more enticing program of mass recruitment. Is it not rather disappointing that one with all the powers of the universe at his command would live and die to save the world, yet in the end have only a few ragged disciples to show for his labors? The answer to this question focuses at once on the real purpose of his plan for evangelism. Jesus was not trying to impress the crowd, but to usher in a kingdom. This meant that he needed people who could lead the multitudes. What good would it have been for his ultimate objective to arouse the masses to follow him if these people had no subsequent supervision or instruction in the way? It had been demonstrated on numerous occasions that the crowd was an easy prey to false little g gods when left without proper care. The masses were like helpless sheep wandering aimlessly without a shepherd. They were willing to follow almost anyone who came along with some promise for their welfare, be it friend or foe. That was the tragedy of the hour. The noble aspirations of the people were easily excited by Jesus, but just as quickly thwarted by the deceitful religious authorities who controlled them. The spiritually blind leaders of Israel, though comparatively few in number, completely dominated the affairs of the people. For this reason, unless Jesus' converts were given competent men of God to lead them on and protect them in the truth, they would soon fall into confusion and despair, and the last state would be worse than the first. Thus, before the world could ever be permanently helped, people would have to be raised up who could lead the multitudes in the things of God. In our next episode, we will look at the conclusion of this selection and the principle applied today. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, in soul winning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience, and we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winners fire. God bless you.